Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks of fitness, episode number 45. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, don't forget to mark your calendars for Saturday, June 27th, 2015, when we will present our 12th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo in Brooklyn, New York. This fun and free event exposes children to over 25 sports activities, nutrition workshops, and health screenings to help our children to become more active and bring awareness to the issue of childhood obesity. This is the largest sports and fitness expo in New York City, so we're looking for sponsors, vendors, and volunteers. For more information, please visit our Body Sculpt of New York website at www.bodysculpt.org or call 718-346-5852. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Cynthia Phillips, certified personal trainer, fitness consultant, and owner of Absolute Body Symmetry Fitness Studio out of Atlanta, Georgia. During the interview, Cynthia will take us on her personal journey to improving her health and opening up her own fitness studio. The road to entrepreneurship was not easy for Cynthia, as she explains in this interview. There were many challenges she had to face and overcome, such as her smoking and drinking habits and the recession of 2007-2008, which nearly wiped her out financially. Cynthia will explain how she was able to bounce back in the midst of so much adversity and how her military experience contributed to her resilience. This is a truly inspiring story of how one woman snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. Now, remember the words of Nelson Mandela, who said, "There is no passion to be found playing small and settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living." And now that's worth thinking. Welcome back to 6 weeks to Fitness. Cynthia Phillips is a certified personal trainer with the International Sports Sciences Association, a DSW sports nutrition consultant, freelance writer, and owner of Absolute Body Symmetry Fitness Studio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Cynthia has been involved in the health and fitness industry for over 10 years, but her journey to fitness didn't start until her late 30s. Being fit and healthy has given Cynthia a new lease on life, and she happily shares her knowledge and expertise with others as a personal trainer and owner of the Body Symmetry Fitness Studio. I am pleased to have Cynthia on our program. Cynthia, how are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is my pleasure to have you on the program today so you can share your journey. But before we talk about your personal training career and Absolute Body Symmetry Fitness Studio, Cynthia, let's talk about your personal life.
Okay.
Were you born and raised in Atlanta?
No. I was born in Ohio. I was raised in Europe. I returned in my late teens. I joined the military trying to go back to Europe. God saw that that was not where he wanted me to be. And so I ended up traipsing around San Diego, California, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, ended up in Atlanta.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What branch of the service were you
in? So I joined the Navy. The Navy was the branch of service that seemed the easiest to exploit in my young teen years. From experiences with the military as a civilian when I lived overseas.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, we have that in common. I was also in the Navy.
Okay. There you go. Good branch, right?
Yeah, it's a good brand. I traveled a lot. I mean, I was on the USS Nimitz. I was in the air squadron.
Okay. So. I ended up on NAS Miramar.
That's where I was. You're kidding.
No, in 79, 80, 81, 82.
Really?
Yes.
I stayed not long after that, but I really enjoyed it. I loved it out there. As a matter of fact, I wanted to move out there.
Yeah, yeah. And for you, cost of living wouldn't be an issue because you're used to New York. So, you know, California's just a...
Yes.
Right, different climate.
Yes. Amazing. Okay, we have a lot in common there. Cynthia, that's awesome. Okay. Now, what was your childhood like?
Well, my grandmother raised me until I was 9, and she took me to live with my father in Sweden at 9 years old. He was in the hair play. right? So he was a very charismatic, creative kind of guy. And we ended up in England where he was a nightclub owner. He transitioned into many, many careers. I think the last one in England, he was a radio personality, named Big Phil. So that was my upbringing. I was around this really charismatic, outgoing, playboy kind of gentleman. And you know, he was a great guy. He was a great friend, but he wasn't the best parent. So I learned very early in life the importance of being self-reliant, taking care of what one's needs were. And while it was a difficult upbringing, I am very happy to have had it because I think that it led the way for my ease in transitioning from thing to thing. So I don't always get caught up in change being a negative.
Yes. What would you say your role model was since your father was kind of out there?
I really did not have a role model. I met many people that he dated who had different pieces of my pie.
Wow.
You know, a lot of the different women had things that I took and things that I learned from his interactions with them. So it was a broad stroke, if you will.
Yes. That's what was going on in your life that caused you to pursue a more healthier lifestyle?
Alcoholism, type A working personality. So I would work really hard during the week and I drink really hard on the weekends.
Really?
I smoked cigarettes. I was raised in Europe. So Europe, what? A lot of Europeans smoke. So I'd been smoking for like 36 years total by the time I quit. And I just had all of these negatives in my life, but I had a very strong mind. So they didn't match. And I was in a state of flux. I looked in a picture one day, and you've seen that picture, and I didn't realize what had happened during my corporate America lifestyle. I tried to fit in here is what happened.
Yes.
And in trying to fit into the American culture from a European background, for me, turned to be a problematic experience. So as I got healthier and was able to delve into my psyche without the distraction and the noise, I started to accept some things, discard some things, and, you know, started working out, started eating right. It was a 7-year transition, that first attempt, though.
Right.
And that's what people don't understand. They want that quick fix. They don't understand.
Yes.
This is a transitional, regardless of where you end up, life is just going to be a series of transitions. And in trying to reach that ultimate goal of health and fitness, it's an ongoing thing.
So you were a constant smoker.
Oh, yes. Drinker.
Okay. A drinker.
Yes.
And, you know, being in the Navy, I was around a lot of, you know, drinkers.
My first billet in the Navy was with a guy from Iowa, a guy from Maine, and a guy from Texas. So when they saw this little black female, I weighed maybe 135 pounds, walking into an automotive electrical diesel engine mechanics position, GSC. You know how big those things were.
Oh, yes.
Right. They really discounted me. And one of my ways in, unfortunately, was to hang out with them at the bars.
Ah, I see.
My acceptance, one of the more negative pieces that I adopted in my life as a way to fit in with people began then at that young age.
I see.
Yeah. So that's where the drinking really started.
No, I can understand that. I mean, I've been out a lot with the fellas,
mm-hmm.
different ports,
mm-hmm.
and they always wanted to go to the bar, mm-hmm. you know, and I did. I went to the bar. I hung out with them and I had a great time, but I did not drink with them.
Yeah.
But what happened was I ended up taking them home a lot.
Yes.
You know, after the being drunk.
Right.
And that turned me off. I said, I don't want to be like that guy.
Exactly. Exactly. And seeing the other side of the coin, being a female trying to step inside of a man's world. I was the first female to walk into that shop.
Really? Oh,
33 of us in that billet when I joined.
Oh, my God.
I was number 33.
Yes.
So, you know, I just tried to do some things the wrong way in order to be accepted. But that's youth. That's what happens.
Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. All right. But you were able to transcend that. You said, okay, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Let me get my body back.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, it was just, it was the universe, you know, it was God. It was whatever people want to call that thing that speaks to you when you start to listen. Because that's what it is. We all have that thing that speaks to us. And we either listen or we don't. And the more that I listened, the clearer the voice came, you know. And the clearer the voice came, the voice told me to stay aware, to be accountable, and just to become the best person I could be and stop listening to the noise. Stop, you know, listening to the naysayers. Stop getting caught up in the status quo. And, you know, in America, that can be difficult.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Mm-hmm. So what did you do now? Okay, you said you're going to stop drinking. You're going to stop smoking.
So we had a 7-year transition. I joined Lee Haney's gym down here in Atlanta.
Oh, Lee Haney's gym.
Yes, I know Lee Haney. You know, he's a good guy.
Yes.
I joined his gym and started hanging out down there, met some of his trainers, some of his employees. And as a corporate geek, I got into computers and everything. And so I would come work out every day. And one day I went home and my nieces and nephews, whom normally I didn't have anything in common with, had the Wii. The Wii had become a thing.
Yes.
And so in order to interact with them, because I came home so sporadically, I wanted things to be sort of quality since I didn't give them quantity. And I found that playing on the Wii as someone who was starting to strive for a healthier path was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
And fun.
I had an 8-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy that were actually giving me the time of day.
Wow.
And so I wanted more of that. But even more importantly, the people in my age group, they had emphysema from smoking, my favorite aunt. One of my favorite cousins had become sort of, if a doctor said cut, she said, okay. And so then it became important to me to show my younger charges, if you will, that it was okay to age gracefully. And the only way I was going to do that was to continue on the path and to improve upon that path. So a friend of mine was a personal trainer with LA Fitness, and she had the ISSA book, and she gave it to me and said, well, read this. I'm still working for corporate America, making good money. I said, okay, I'll read it. Well, I read it. So I wonder if I really understand it. So there happened to be one of those weekend courses from ISSA to get certified. I ordered my own book. I paid my money. And I sat down. I took the class and passed. So then it was, well, okay, so now that you've spent this money, you need to get your money back. How can you best do that? Now, well, you've got a great job, but why not work part-time? You're not in a relationship now. You're not really doing anything. You've got some spare time.
Right.
So I went to LA Fitness when they had Body of Change.
Uh-huh.
And for me, because I work corporate America, I think I was making 60 to 80 grand a year. It was not about the money at all. It was really about honing the thing that I had adopted, being able to show my family a better way, and having somebody else do the work of finding the client base for me, because really I didn't have time.
Okay.
So that's what LA Fitness did. So I would get up every morning at 4. I would start training in somebody's apartment at 4:15, run down to LA Fitness at 5, train until 7, go to my corporate job where there was a bodybuilding Marine who loved me to death. So he let me come in half an hour early so I could work out 2 hours during the day. I would half an hour later go back to LA Fitness and train for 2 hours. And then I'd go home, relax, and my day would start all over again. In that transition, I was still smoking, but the drinking subsided.
Nice. Good.
So as the days went on and the training became longer, I realized that I had started going out to my trunk, to my truck, Vincent, and I was sneaking down in my seat. You know, like a kid when you know you're wrong, you're sliding down in your seat because you're doing something you don't want anybody to see you doing.
Exactly, yes.
I had now gotten to the point that I didn't want the clients that I was teaching fitness and health.
Yes.
Smoking to leave the gym after a workout and smoke a cigarette.
Goodness, yes.
So I had quit drinking the year before, so that was the catalyst to help me stop smoking. But it didn't happen that I woke up on a Sunday morning and I said, I'm not spending any more damn money on cigarettes, and that was it. That was all there was.
That's it. You said, because it's expensive to smoke, isn't it?
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
So it's expensive, but also it's not healthy. And you said, look, that's it. No more. I'm cutting this out.
I'm cutting it out.
But at this point, you are a certified trainer.
I am a certified trainer.
Now, how long have you been doing personal training?
1990. I started 1993. I developed absolute body symmetry.
Okay.
1994, December, I quit my corporate job.
Uh-huh.
And started training exclusively out of my home. I turned my master suite I turned my master suite into a training studio. And I brought women to my home who were uncomfortable being in a place where everybody looked at them.
Right.
And that was it.
I see. Okay, so you're working out of your home, but how hard was the transition from corporate America to your own business?
Well, because it was a home-based business and because I had been working out of LA Fitness, and because while I worked at LA Fitness and I started seeing business practices that I thought were unfair to the people that were my peers.
Yes.
You know, other than the money, it was very simple.
Well, other than the money,
it was a very, very simple transition. My job used to be an 8-mile trip. They actually moved 30 miles away. So that was another catalyst. There's no way I'm going to spend in Georgia. Traveling is like New York. If you have a car, it's a nightmare.
Yes.
And in Georgia, unlike New York, the transit system isn't very friendly when you're going outskirts. The further out you go, the worse it gets. So I decided that while $80,000 a year was good if I was only traveling in one direction 8 miles, that $80,000 wasn't as attractive if I had to travel in one direction in traffic every day, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, no.
One way.
Definitely. Yes.
So I worked myself out of a job. I helped, and I had been a consultant at this place actually for 5 years. I was only supposed to be there a year, but you know, whatever. I ended up there for 5 years. So at the end of this time with that move, I made a suggestion. I said, guys, look, you have a platform that works for you. I can transition what I do for you onto that platform. You really should have done this in the beginning. You chose not to. I don't know why, but I'm not going to continue coming out here. So we need to do this for you now.
Wow.
So really? we transitioned what we had on the platform that I was responsible for onto a more sort of reliant company platform.
Yes.
And, you know, and then I said, well, I'll just keep training until I decide what else I want to do with my life. And I never decided on anything else.
And you never looked back.
I never looked back. I stayed working in my home until our economy did that housing nosedive and my clients got, you know, pummeled, which pummeled me.
Oh, yeah. That around 2007, 2008.
Oh, yes.
I remember it quite well. But you were able to sustain yourself in the midst of that.
No, I lost everything.
You really?
I lost my home. I lost my rental. I saw about $30,000 to $45,000 of my 401k just go. It was a devastating time. It was a really devastating time for me. My relationship was in turmoil. And IRS decided they wanted to look at me a little more closely. So it was just a really difficult time.
Wow. Yeah. Really? Yeah. So I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But
so
how did you weather that storm and how did you build yourself up to come back?
Well, you know, you cry a lot. You have to accept where you are. I mean, nothing's promised. Nothing's easy. And you can sit on your laurels and go, oh, God, why me? Why me? Oh, God, help me. And you'll be on the same couch saying the same words tomorrow and the day after that. So back to my history of my father raising me or really not being prepared to raise me, it instilled upon me the need to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do what you need to do to get forward. So in all the tears and all the stress, you know, the good thing about being a vet, I was able to call them and say, look, I'm having a really difficult time. I need to talk to somebody.
Right.
So, you know, I had somebody to talk to. And when you have people to talk to that don't know your story, they don't have a lot to interject. If they don't have a lot to interject, you have time to hear the things you say. If you have time to hear yourself clearly, you can find your own solution.
So I
decided that maybe I should go back to corporate America. I will take on a consulting job doing something and see if maybe that's what I needed to do.
Okay.
Vincent, it lasted 2 days.
Last two days?
Two assignments.
You're kidding.
There was a bank that was transitioning into another bank. WaMu was being taken over by Chase. So part of their changeover was to change their IT structure. So I decided that my reinsurgence into the market would be, you know, to consult for these people and do this transition. Being around corporate America and hearing how people treat each other just brought me back to why it was so easy for me to leave the first time.
Huh, yes.
So at the same time, the universe brought to my attention that one of the gems that I aligned myself with, let me say, tell you what that means real quick. When you're training people at home, generally women, you know this, when they're very, very self-conscious, they don't want to be in a gym.
True.
The minute they start losing a little weight, they put on something tight. Often it's too early, but that's another story. They want to start showing off.
Exactly.
Accomplishing. Well, at that time, rather than lose them as a client, I would find out where they live, what was convenient. I would then align myself with that gym. I would approach the gym for them, and I would say this. My name is Cynthia Phillips. I really don't want to be your trainer, but I do want to remain the trainer of this person who I would like to introduce to your facility as a member. And for 1 year, I want the right to continue to train this person in your facility without paying you a dime.
They went for that?
Oh, absolutely.
That's unheard of.
That's absolute. Oh, look, I went dressed for success. I had a briefcase. I had a business plan. I did not play.
Really? So why did they agree under those terms?
Well, some of these places are charging anywhere from $300 to $500 a year for a membership.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another membership. That member will be there long after I'm gone. And I said I wanted the right. It didn't mean they were actually going to use me.
Yes.
Member still had the right to choose another trainer of their choice in that facility. I did not say that could not happen. I was confident enough in myself that my person would stay with me. I didn't think about any other trainers being competition.
Hmm. Well, I know some gyms would say, okay, you can train your client here, but you have to give us X amount of dollars for that.
So lose a membership, lose $500 a year then with that attitude. I don't care. I'll just take them down the street to the other gym. That's up to you.
So you had leverage.
Right.
I see. Very, very, very good. Very, very. I'm impressed with that. You're very confident. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what you had to offer.
Yeah.
Okay. So when do you transition back out of corporate, though? I mean, you said you went back there. Now what happened?
Fair. Okay. So the next stage was one. Okay. So the reason I segued with the gym thing. So obviously I had a few of those in my pocket, not just because where you live is where I tried to get you a membership. What was convenient for you? Was it to your job or was it, where'd you go? There you go. Was it your job or was it your home? What was convenient for you? What would keep you working out every day? So I aligned myself with not just one, two, but three or four different gyms. And one of them was run by a gentleman who was having some drug issues and not paying his rent.
Uh-oh.
I found out about that. I got in touch with the person he rented from, who was a realtor. I suggested that he sell me his business before he lost it and they just closed the doors on him. It was a better deal for him.
Right.
I then suggested to his landlords that they take me on. I'd pay his back rent and my first month rent and take over the lease.
Really?
It was, because I'm an unknown.
Yes.
And I don't want them looking at my credit. I just lost my home. I just had to file bankruptcy.
You're right. Right? You're right.
So yes. I just accepted his messed up contract, and you know, his business was not bad. He and his partner had a sort of a captive audience in the community that was there. So they had a good member base.
Yes, I see.
That he would sell his memberships and pocket the money.
Oh, no, not good business practice.
Well, as I say, he had developed a drug problem. So that's how I ended up with my first gym, because at that point I was so disgusted with corporate America and what I had seen transpire. The thing that I felt was one of the reasons our country dumped itself the way it did was those types of attitudes. I didn't want to be a part of that. The only way to not be a part of something that is a negative is to become a part of the solution. I truly believe that. You can only do it one person at a time. You can only do the best thing that you can do. You can't look outside of other people. You have to. Man in the mirror, Michael Jackson. It's just an evident thing. So did the business plan, got with the realtor, got with the landlords, got with him, created a win-win situation, bought his facility, bought my first job. 1999, July the 1st, I became a gym owner.
Really?
2009, I'm sorry, 2009. Right.
Okay, wow. And so you totally left corporate America at this point.
Absolutely, it disgusted me.
Right, okay, so now you're running Absolute Symmetry.
Absolute Body Symmetry in Atlanta, Georgia, in a residential community. And when I purchased the gym from him, there was myself, there was a Snap Fitness and the YMCA. So there was enough for everybody.
Wow, in the same area?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How was the competition?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right then when I bought it, there was no competition because he and his partner were gay white males. So all of the gay white males in the neighborhood joined his gym, Fitness Factory.
Right. Okay.
Snap Fitness was in a small up-and-coming community where the houses started at $400,000. And right. So they had their community. And you know about boundaries. People
yes.
don't cross medians. They don't cross lakes. They don't, you know, I mean, literally they don't cross over a park when they can go to somewhere that's on their side of the street.
Right.
The YMCA True. Is definitely more family friendly, but it doesn't have a large weight building area.
Yes.
So we each had our own niche.
Right. I see.
And I bought a niche.
And you bought a niche.
And I bought a niche. So I was good for the first 3 years. Now, in that 3 years, this is when the universe decided, I guess, I needed to be slapped in the face and I needed to come out of my state of complacency. Hmm. Within that 3 year period, boot camps became a big thing. You know how the trends go.
I do know.
So introduced two major boot camps into the area. Then, two more gyms came into the area. Then CrossFit came into the area.
CrossFit, oh,
Yoga
okay.
came into the area. So I went from two entities that we all could sort of live together.
Sure.
I could name 15 off the top of my head right now. This is in a residential environment, mind you. This isn't
really?
Downtown. You know, the biggest business was probably the grocery store.
Huh.
So
really?
It was really difficult. And one of those entities, the Village Fitness, moved in about 0.6 miles away from me. It was 4,000 square feet larger than me, owned by three white males, two of whom were gay. Mm. And they offered my members zero down and $20 a month for a year.
Can't beat that. What?
Can't touch it.
What?
So they literally yes. ended me in my third year. And I still had 2 years on my contract.
On your lease? On your
yes.
Get out.
So now let me tell you how good God is and why I believe doing right by people is a great thing. My landlords allowed me to give them whatever I could come up with for the 2 years I had left.
Whatever you can come up with?
Whatever I could come up with, be it $1,000, and my rent was $5,700. So
$5,700 a month?
Yes.
Down in Atlanta, Georgia, $5,700 a month.
$5 a month.
That is a major nut to crack.
Right. But I had, for the first 3 years, on the second year, I was paying $10,000 a month because I opened up a studio in another part of the building so that I could have the cardio component and the aerobic component.
Oh, you expanded.
Space couldn't do that, right.
Right.
But, you know, I just couldn't sustain it with that type of... So the first thing they did was they took that piece out of my contract. Oh, they were so helpful, patient,
wow.
standing.
Yes.
And so when my 2 years came up, they wow. called me into the office. I swear I thought the guy was going to cry. He was so nice though.
This is the owners. The owners of the property.
This is the owners.
Wow.
And George told me, Cartel Properties is their name. Wonderful people. He says to me, you know, you had a good run there for a minute. Said,
yes.
You know, we can't let you stay. He said, our stockholders wonder why you're even still here.
Oh, they're owned by stockholders. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they're really, really large, right?
Yes.
And so they had gone through the books and they're like, why is that woman still in that space? She should
Thank
have
you.
Been gone. So what they told me, they said, you know, you owe us hundreds of thousands of dollars, but this is what we're going to do. If you can be out and clean the space out by this date, you're just good. And don't give up.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Now that's God. That's a special relationship right there.
Absolutely.
Amazing. You owed them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And come on, if I'm paying you $15,000 to $2,000 a month over a 2.5-year period, 2-year period.
Do the math.
You know, right.
And all you have to do is just clean up and just be gone, but good luck. Don't give up. Wow. Someone's looking out for you.
Yes,
let me tell you.
As I say, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored, and I try to be grateful every day.
Every day. I can see why. Wow. Okay. So you had to leave that environment. You had to leave that space. What did you do next?
I started looking frantically because it wasn't just me now. You know, I told you about my business model. I don't employ people. I create a space and an environment for entrepreneurs, people who are passionate about what they do, to do what they do. So I looked around and I thought about, okay, well, you know, you can always go back to corporate.
Of course.
You can always go back to corporate. You can always go back to training out of your home. But then I looked and I saw these kids around me that had just become a part of my life. And I just couldn't see them going back to poison. And I believe that the LA Fitnesses, the Bally's, the Medium, the large size clubs just aren't there to help the people they exploit.
Not at
members,
all.
Not their employees. It's just money, 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 money. So I took a deep breath and I started looking for another space. And it was a hard way to go trying to find another space because, of course, you know, I don't really have any cash.
I was wondering about that.
I got no cash. So I had almost given up hope. I couldn't really find a place. And then one day this gentleman called me and he had this situation he told me to come and look at. So the space hadn't been utilized in 7 years. It was an older historical building, but it was downtown near major hospitals, AT&T, Ernst & Young, IRS. I mean, we're talking downtown, midtown. Atlanta is constantly growing.
Great location.
Great location. And it was 2,500 less than I paid for my other space of 2,400 square feet, and this was 3,700 square feet.
Really? Larger and cheaper?
Larger, cheaper, in a better environment.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not without its challenges, don't get me wrong, but, you know, in this day and age with all the competition that we now have as fitness professionals, you know, you just do what you do. You do the best you can.
Exactly.
So that pretty much is what sort of allowed me to go forward to where I am today, is just having those situations that the universe presents to me and being able to see the possibilities in it and to have people with like minds. Because at the end of the day, what I'm doing is really a collective, a collaboration, getting people that aren't used to working together to be a team of individuals that do things a little differently, but will work in a business setting.
Ah, very good. Yes.
That's the key, because I want them to be individuals. I want these kids to be able to come away and maybe someday open up something that gives someone else an opportunity to thrive and survive without being under the thumb of, you know, the corporate environment, if that's not what they choose to do.
Exactly. So you're empowering them.
I'm trying to empower them. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So you actually are leasing another studio.
I am downtown Atlanta, off of Spring Street. Yes, it's 3,700 square feet. And how I did that was, I also had to think about how I had done business in the past, what I personally feel fitness is about, and do a transition. So what I chose to do to fund the moving portion was sell everything that I thought was really not helpful. I don't believe that a lat pull down is necessarily the most helpful way to build upper body strength to do a pull up. I don't believe that a tricep extension or a bicep curl is the most effective machine to utilize. I do believe in them if you're a bodybuilder and you're trying to get every single fiber.
Yeah.
But, you know, the average fitness enthusiast just wants to look better. They want to feel better. And you don't need these particular machines to do that. So everybody has been sort of fed a bill of goods and gotten into a bodybuilder kind of workout.
Uh-oh, look out now.
So I decided that I wanted to get more organic. I watched CrossFit hurt people.
Yes, that's true.
I watched boot camps hurt people.
Okay.
Because our desire as individuals to step up and be there for the people that we partner with, that we fellowship with, sometimes overrides our senses. If you are 300 pounds and you go to a boot camp, you should not be running a mile.
Thank you. Yes. You know, yes.
If you are a fit individual, and I don't mean uber fit, just really fit individual, I'm not really seeing where power lifts done continuously over time are not going to overuse your muscles. If you are coming into a system where you spend the first 40 minutes really standing with other people with like minds, and each one of you has a time that you attempt a lift of some kind, that means the other two are cooling down while they're waiting for you to be done.
Right. Exactly.
Then at the end, for 20 minutes, you are given a series of things to do as quickly and as many times as possible. I don't really see where that's advantageous to your overall health unless you are already an athlete.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Already conditioned.
Very conditioned.
Right.
So I decided that maybe there should be something that stayed sort of above the corporate big gyms and below CrossFit. And that's what I tried to create.
Okay, in between.
In between, right? In between.
So you have less equipment just in your studio.
I have less equipment. I have barbells. I have dumbbells. I have Smith machine pull-up, pendulum rack, and a old-fashioned cage.
Okay, but yeah, as you know, trainers, we can use anything.
Right.
You know, a jump rope to be effective.
Well, and I have jump ropes, and I have bands, and I have undulation ropes, and I have TRX, and I have a TRX mount, and then I have a wide open aerobics room, and I even use a pole fitness, not stripper pole. I have poles. Now, I do allow people to rent the space and use it for that. I use them to climb, and I use them for different types of sit-ups. I use poles for fitness.
I see. Now, let me ask you, because this is all very good, where did the name Absolute Body Symmetry come from? I like the ABS, the acronym, right. ABS, but where did it come from?
Janet Jackson.
What?
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson.
You remember when Janet first broke back out, right? She's a grown woman. She got the Greek guy on the beach. And that was the first time people saw her physique, and the abs were like, they were pumping.
I remember that.
All of a sudden, everybody wanted to have abs. All the women wanted to have abs like Janet Jackson.
That's true.
It was just like the key word. So how can I get this word that everybody's keyed into? Because everybody talks about their midsection.
Right, exactly. Right? Hey.
Everybody's always talking about their midsection. So I thought, well, okay, ABS, it's in front of anybody's phone book. But you've got anti-braking systems.
Right.
You've got body systems, body solutions. They're just different things. So I said, well, what can I do so that I can have this ABS, still stay in the front of the phone books and the other media that come up? Right. And I said, I have to create something with that acronym. And I felt like Absolute Body Symmetry would not negate any body type because we all have our own symmetry.
Yes.
It's an inherent thing in our DNA. Not that we pay attention to our DNA, but, you know, so that's where it came from.
It's great. It's creative. It's easy to remember, you know? It's awesome. I was quite impressed when I put that together. Abs. I'm always talking about abs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
walks up to me, wants abs.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want that?
Everybody
that
wants
look.
Abs, you know, that is the picture of health right there. If they can see your stomach, you know, as far as they're concerned, you're the picture of health.
And now also, let's talk more about your training studio and your trainers. So the trainers who work at the studio, they don't work for you, per se.
No. They work for themselves.
Do they give you money to rent the studio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I broke it down in a way that worked for everybody. And they can use one or all because Another problem with our society is that we become so general that we stifle our ability to think outside the box. Generality has its place. Don't get me wrong. But then you've got to break it down, because generality has its place, but an individual is still an individual. So what I did for my trainers is this. You might have a person that can only afford to come to you once a week. They might do something else the rest of the week, but they want that instruction because they really don't know what to do.
Right. Right.
So that's money. You don't really want to give that money away. Even though they're only coming once a week, it's an opportunity to help somebody. So that person you might pay a $5 day rate for. That's all I'm going to have you do. Pay a $5 day rate for that person.
Really?
Okay. So now the next person comes 2 or 3 days a week and they're paying you a nice little sum. So for them, I might charge you $45 a month.
Okay.
That's your option. And third scenario is that you've got it going on so much that really you don't want to be bothered with, you know, having people, you have to sign people and identify with how you're paying for them, because that's how I keep my checks and balances. You don't want all that. You know you got it. You're just going to pay me a flat fee of $425 a month. You're going to carry your own insurance.
Right.
And then whoever you bring in signs in, because I have them sign in because my sign-in sheet has a waiver. So no matter what, if you've been to my studio 3, 4, 5 times, you're signing a waiver every single time you come in. You're signing a waiver with the trainer anyway, insurance or no insurance. So this way, you know, if somebody wants to slip and fall and say something stupid, I have 4 checks and balances to keep me from having to purchase the employ of an expensive lawyer. Because you have signed off in 3 different areas about us not being responsible for what you have decided to do in our facility as an adult. And I use words like risk and death, and I highlight them, and I italicize them, and I have you initial by them.
Because
to make people be accountable. We don't make people accountable. A lot of the businesses don't make people accountable because then they can take their money. They don't show them everything. I show you everything.
I see. Very good. Very full disclosure.
Absolutely. Accountability is key. If more people would become accountable for themselves, we'd have a lot less problems. But I refuse to become a McDonald's. You burned yourself with my coffee. That's not happening.
Yes, because we live in a litigious society, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So every opportunity we get, people are suing one another.
Absolutely. So I just make it really, really difficult for you to even think about it.
Definitely. So how do you make your money?
I still train. I'm a flex instructor. So I recently started training at senior citizens for facilities.
Okay.
I still train people personally.
Right.
And I work at FedEx part-time while this child is growing, to help pay the bills. So, you know, I'm a work in progress. It's what businesses, small businesses like myself do.
Exactly. All right. So you work part-time at FedEx. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But even while you're doing that, you still have money coming in because people are working at your facility.
Right.
Paying you that way as well.
Right.
Okay. So that's excellent. Now tell me about the clientele that you normally train. What type of clientele do you normally work with?
I work with those people that need my services. I don't necessarily work with the people who want my services.
Really?
Yes.
Explain that.
Okay. So you've got people who buy a trainer because they can brag about it at work. They really don't need you. They're not overweight. They're not out of shape. They can simply afford you.
Yes.
And then there are those people who have awkward body shapes, who just feel like they can never reach this thing because they have the wrong body image. And when I say that, they compare themselves to people they could never be like. I mean, if you've got hips, you got hips.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like the little waify chick that you're looking at, you know, on TV.
Right. Your structure is different.
Right. So I try to be available for those people that I know really need my style of service and my reality check and my directness. And so those are the people that I actually target.
Okay. And people who have, I guess, realistic expectations.
Well, they don't. They don't start off that way.
They don't. So you have to make it.
You have to help and guide them. Our society has so blinded people to the realities of the day that you have to re-educate them, right? Because our children are not blowing up and looking like they're 30 at 10 for no reason.
Exactly.
You know, that's not an accident.
Mm-hmm. And so true.
We can't allow ourselves to remain apathetic to how our choices are affecting our environment. So it's a way, way, way deeper thing that I am after than just training people for physical health. I'm trying to train people not only for their current physical health, but for the health of their offspring and their offspring's offspring. As you remember now, the Indians used to think about 7 generations ahead. We don't even think about 7 days ahead.
That's true. Isn't that a shame? That's a fact.
It is. So it has to start somewhere. So I can teach people it's important to detox before you try to transition into a new lifestyle. And yes, it's a new lifestyle. No, I'm not doing a diet with you. Uh-huh. Don't do diets.
Right.
Detox, get the poisons out, and let's learn how to put good stuff in.
Very good. Right?
Black woman's going to spend $500 on her hair. You won't spend $2 more on better quality of food.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So this is sort of my thing. That's what I try to do. I try to get people who need me, and then I try to teach them a better way, an alternate way. And because I have the knowledge and because I do it, I try to give them that shortcut because they do have busy lives, husbands, children, businesses, corporate jobs that will not give them the time. So I've done the research. Let me help you through. Let me transition you to a better place. And this is how we do it.
Most definitely. In your opinion, how important is nutrition in helping your clients to achieve their fitness goals?
70% nutrition, 10% rest, and the rest of it is exercise.
Right. Okay.
You know, I mean, come on.
Love it.
You know.
Love it. I agree. I say 80% nutrition. Because most people get caught up in the fitness phase of, oh, man, I got to work out 7 days a week and 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And they don't look, they don't make any changes. If anything, they look worse than they did when they first started.
That's why I make sure I put that rest in there because, you know, you work out all you want to. But if you don't rest, those proteins can't heal the muscles. What are you doing?
Exactly. No. So that is the key.
It's key. Nutrition, rest, primary. If you get good nutrition and rest, you'll drop the body weight. If you want to make that look good and athletic, you hit the gym.
Exactly. Very good. But you shouldn't be, you don't have to be in the gym 7 days a week, not 2-3 hours a day.
Honestly, I have a gym and people hate it when I say this, but the Homo sapiens didn't have a gym.
Exactly.
Hunted, we gathered, and that's how we got our motion. The motion we have now is from the house to the garage to the car, from the car to the seat in the job. From the seat in the job to the car, elevator, escalator, whichever one you want to take, to the car, back to the house, to the couch.
Yes.
Right?
What did we do, you know, years ago? What did we do then?
For food. We were in constant motion.
Movement.
Looking. We were climbing. Yes. We were pulling. We were pushing, right? We didn't have food readily available and prepackaged in cardboard boxes. So we were moving. That was our exercise, was seeking a way to sustain our very survival. We don't have to do that anymore.
Exactly. It's much easier now, but now we also have more chronic disease as a result of this lifestyle.
We're not moving because we're in imbalance. We do a whole lot of pushing moves without any pulling moves. That's why, look, if a bear was chasing you and you can't pull yourself up out the way, we're imbalanced.
Exactly.
Right? Everybody puts on their chest. Like the guys with the big barrel chest and arms, they've got no back, they've got no legs.
Exactly.
So we're imbalanced. We are imbalanced in mind, we are imbalanced in body, and unfortunately, we are also imbalanced in soul.
Mm. That's the worst, you know?
Right.
So we try to teach people on a holistic level how to take care of themselves.
Everything is organic, as organic as I can get. As a matter of fact, I even purchased an incline strider, which is a treadmill without motors.
A treadmill without motors.
Yeah, NFL uses it. Pittsburgh Steelers use it.
Really?
Yeah, it's called an incline strider. It has a flywheel. You get on it, it's at an incline. So it's easier on the joints of people that are larger. And or they call it a cleat mill. That's the other thing they call it. But the key is, like a rowing machine, it's all you.
All you. That's amazing. I've never seen that before.
Look it up online. Go to my website. You can see it there in Crunch.
Oh, okay. Okay. I will definitely do that, you know? Now, I have a couple more questions for you.
Yes.
Now, if my listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can go to my website at www.abbsatl.com. My email is there. My direct phone number is there. You can get me directly. I don't have anybody else's phone up there, just me.
Ah, okay, just you. Yeah. But I noticed on your website, you don't mention yourself as the owner of Absolute Body Symmetry.
No, because a couple of things. I don't want people picking me as their trainer because, you know, I'm the owner.
Ah, I see.
So I try to take the ego out of the equation. It's not really important that I'm the owner. It's important that people get what they need out of the facility that I've created.
Hmm. No, I see. I wondered because I was looking. I believe you're underneath trainers.
Mm-hmm, I am.
I said, okay. So she's trying to perpetrate a fraud. Like she's the owner. She's only the trainer. But that was so cool. And I understand Kenroy Grant, who I interviewed, is also a trainer, referred you to me as well.
Right. And Kenroy and I met during our LA fitness days.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we were both disgruntled with the way that trainers were being treated. So we both went in different directions to be better able to afford something for the client that was more personal and helpful than, you know, what the clubs want. Because all the clubs want to do is get you into a contract that you're not going to utilize and take your money every month. That's really all they care about. They're not going to call you. They're not going to follow behind you. They're not going to talk about nutrition with you. They're not really going to do anything that will help you get to where you want to get to. They just want to keep you on that hamster roll. I want to help teach you what to do. Now, I've got clients that are very clear. Cynthia, if I'm not paying you, I'm not working out. I hate it, don't want to do it, but I won't waste my money. That's why I pay you every day. I'm okay with that. There's a clarity there. I like to deal with people who are clear.
Right.
I do love to deal with people who are clear. But then there are also people who can't really afford you long term. So what you hope is that you can be that semester in their life that they can build on.
Yes, most definitely. Now, you gave me your website, email address. Did you also give me social media contacts?
Oh, my God, yes. Everything is Abs Body Sim, Absolute Body Symmetry, Abs ATL. Just look up Abs. LinkedIn, Pinterest. If it's a social media network, I'm pretty much on it. Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's Absolute Body Symmetry, Abs ATL, Abs Body Sim. You can find me.
Do you have your own Facebook
page?
Yes.
Cynthia Phillips is my personal Facebook page, and Absolute Body Symmetry is my fan page. Please go out there and like Absolute Body Symmetry, my fan page on Facebook, as a matter of fact.
Perfect. I mean, today you have to be on social media today
you
in
do.
Business.
You have. You do. You have to.
You really do. I realize that. It's so important. But now, what's on Cynthia Phillips and Absolute Body Symmetry's bucket list in the coming months and years?
I have a friend that has mentored me. His name is Moses Carroll. And he loves pole dancing as a fitness sport. And over a year ago, he started something he calls Pole Dance America. Pole Dance America. And did was he took Pole Dance America and started this fitness competition throughout the U.S. So while traveling, trying to build, because he too left corporate America to follow his dream, he too worked at LA Fitness. He did the whole GM thing. But while he was doing this, there were times when he couldn't afford gas for his truck or food, and he had to make a choice, or he couldn't afford a hotel stay. And so he realized something, and it was that people are hungry in this country, and people are not being supported.
That's
so
true.
He started MC Healthcare as a way to bring attention in a different way to the hunger plight in America.
Yes.
So because he has been such a valued mentor for me, and because I have the space and we have a like-minded connection in that both of our dreams have to do with fitness.
Yes.
This year, he's going to have a Pole Dance America competition in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And every week, he pretty much has something that brings cans of food into the facility. We're trying to build this connection for the Atlanta Food Bank and PDA and ABS. And so yes. In the immediate moment, my goal is to help him bring his dream to reality because he's been so instrumental in helping me get mine back off the ground.
Yes, I see. I see. Well, in helping him, you're also going to be helping yourself.
As I said, we're a collective. So the other part of my dream here, the long-term piece of my dream, the ongoing piece of my dream, is that by doing what we are doing as a collective, Universal Fitness with Brian Schwartz and LeDarrick Vaughn, who used to play football in high school and busted his knees out, and you know, some of the other trainers that have chosen to come and work with me from different places. Kim Patton, who comes to me, and she was an Olympic hurdler. Jay Davis, who was a boxer. All of these people come through ABS at different times and use a facility. So I'm hoping that collectively we can show people how to work together in that collective manner to get our lives where we can control them and not be so controlled.
Yes, I agree. That's wonderful. That is amazing. When does that take place?
PDA Championship? April. Yeah, I'm going to hook you up with Moses. I think you would really enjoy talking to him. He's also a self-made entrepreneur.
Oh, I would love that. Most definitely. Most definitely, Cynthia. And I hope to come down to Atlanta at some point myself. If I do, or when I do, I will look you up, Ken Roy, and the rest of the crew.
Absolutely.
This is what it's all about, connections,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And networking, you have to, we can't do it alone. You know?
No, we can't.
But together, we're strong. And that's what we have
to
work
together.
And that's
what we have, well, not only work toward, we have to show it. And that's my goal, is to be in a position where I can actually show it manifesting.
Yes, yes. You know, I do a phenomenal event here in New York every year called the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. Mm-hmm. It's our 12th annual on June 27th. Where we engage children in over 25 sports activities, nutrition clinics, health screenings, totally free. You know, 3,000 people come out to this event.
I have another gentleman here in Atlanta that you need to connect with. His name is David, and they do Play Day. Very similar. Play Day.
Nice. Yes. That is what it's all about. Kids want to play, you know, and you want to keep them healthy, and it starts young.
Right.
You know, and as adults, we have to be role models for our kids because they're looking up to
us. Absolutely.
Okay? So I agree wholeheartedly with your philosophy on health and what you're doing with Absolute Body Symmetry, you know? So Cynthia Phillips, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeks.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care and bye-bye.